Hello, and welcome to That Tech Pod. I'm Laura Milstein.
And I'm Kevin Albert.
And today we are having a bonus episode. Full disclosure, this is a boring warning for everybody. And I'm going to get into why. So today we are going to be talking about the 21st Annual eDiscovery Records and Information Management Conference. And why I'm mentioning that this is boring is because, well, eDiscovery can be boring, but for some of you, it might not be boring. And for Kevin and I, it's actually not boring at all, which is shocking. I guess we are boring.
I'm willing to concede. I'm a little boring.
This conference was thrown by the Digital Government Institute, and Kevin was there live where he actually was running a session, which was called FOIA in Focus. Stay tuned as we dive into Kevin talking with Michael Sarek and Michael Heiss at the FOIA in Focus session at the 21st Annual eDiscovery Records and Information Management Conference.
Yeah, the first thing you're going to hear is my intro of the two Michaels, our two experts, and then I'm going to go in a little bit farther into the session, and you're going to hear some follow-up questions that I asked, and I thought the answers that both Michael and Michael gave were really interesting. Hope you enjoy this.
Thank you all for coming. So this is FOIA in Focus. We have a couple of great experts here who are going to share their insights and all. So first we have Michael Sarek as the FOIA director at the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs. Michael leads one of the federal government's most extensive FOIA programs, managing a team of 900 plus FOIA and Privacy Act officers dispersed across 151 facilities. Prior to joining the VA FOIA office, he led VA FOIA's program with over 300 FOIA officers. He also served in the Office of General Counsel at the Social Security Administration, where he handled significant FOIA cases, and the Bureau of Land Management, where he established a central FOIA office. He's also a U.S. Army veteran who served in Korea, Germany, Texas, and Maryland. We also have Michael Heiss. Michael is the attorney advisor at the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. He is an experienced FOIA analyst and a licensed attorney with a strong background in electronic discovery at all stages. His significant experience with project management and supervision is honed from his 9 years at CACI. He also has extensive document review experience throughout his career. He is also a veteran, having served in the Army National Guard. Thank you both for joining us. First, we'll start with Michael Sarek. Can you talk about the main areas of focus for your agency regarding FOIA management in 2024?
Sure. Thanks so much. I really appreciate you guys having me today. Thanks so much for coming out in the rain and for us Marylanders making it over the bridge.
That's right.
Getting our passport stamped, getting into Virginia. It's quite a... Quite a thrill. It's great to be here and see so many friends in the audience, and a real honor to be on the dais with Mike Heiss, whose work in FOIA I've long admired and long respected, as everyone in the FOIA community does. So real honor. Yeah. And Kevin, great to make your acquaintance and be able to share the dais with you as well. So the main focuses, and I think my picture here is kind of the channeling Lisa's presentation on boldly going where no one has gone before. So for VA, our main focus is centered around challenges that have come from Section 406 of the Cleland-Dole Act, which was a Christmas present year before last, where we are required by the VA, so very special, to meet the statutory obligations of 20 days by 2027. So VA is in a situation that's a little bit unique where we're in that spot. So what we've done, the challenges, what we're looking at there are challenges centered around tech, talent, and training. So tech, meaning of course now leveraging e-discovery methodologies to move cases through the queue to meet that 20-day deadline. Talent, putting people in the right places. We are a huge organization at the Veterans Administration. Ensuring that we have the right people in the right places performing the right roles is critical at any large organization. Your organization is no different than VA in that. And then, of course, training, making sure that people have the confidence to perform their work and they're able to do it in a competent way. It's really difficult to have competence, and if you don't have that that confidence that you can get a request, process it, and get it out. So those are kind of the three areas, the tech, talent, and training that we're focused on, all in an effort to meet that 20-day deadline, that statutory obligation that we have to get records into the hands of requesters.
Nice, thank you. Michael Heiss, what do you see as the most pressing issue in FOIA compliance today?
Well, thank you, and nice to be on the stage with you, Mike. So from where I sit, you know, I work at the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, and now unlike Mike's agency, obviously we're a very small agency. I think there's like 2,000, 3,000 folks there, and my current role now is the assistant legal counsel for the Foy division. So I kind of head up a lot of training and guidance, as well as working, you know, managing a group of folks in the headquarters that process Foy requests. But the commission has a decentralized system where the bulk of our docket is actually private sector charge files that get processed by the Office of Field Programs from coast to coast. I think one of the big challenges that was your question about is, you know, dealing with the ever increasing amount of FOIA requests that come in and getting them ideally fully fulfilled by, you know, within the 20-day working period, and leveraging, you know, whatever technologies are at least at the commission's disposal to help effectuate and accomplish that.
How do you balance, though, the compliance with the limited resource? I mean, obviously you have to, you know, the volumes aren't going anywhere, but how do you deal with that piece of it?
Oh, the volumes are going somewhere. They're going up. Like, there's no two ways about it. People are more and more interested, you know, the FOIA law of Moore, they're more and more interested in what we're doing, which I love. In invested citizenry, people that want to know what's going on with their federal government, with the dollars that we're spending, the trillions of dollars that we're expending, and the work that we're doing on behalf of the American public, I'm glad they want to know, right? So that happens. So really what most successful FOIA programs, what Mike's does and Eric Stein's estates and so many other successful FOIA programs that we respect and admire and emulate in many ways, they prioritize and execute, right? You prioritize on the things that you can get out quick. You get those average processing times down if you can. You try and get those cases that you can get out the door. Is working with the requesters and building that community. Of course, tech, embracing e-discovery methodologies, right? Really applying those to FOIA, because they're really, when you get down to it, the same thing, right? It's someone wants something on a deadline and you got to get it to them in that way. So that's why it's so exciting to see companies here that we can take those proven use cases. We don't have to pilot anything because they're proven and used for years and years and years and able to apply those in the federal space.
Do you feel like this is a problem, though, that can be solved through technology?
Using CasePoint or any kind of e-discovery software in your FOIA processing, I know that the commission right now is interested in having a FOIA platforms that are integrated with those kind of discovery systems, as well as integrated with video and audio sort of redaction capabilities, because those kind of things will help mitigate and reduce a backlog. Because if you have the right tools, you can do the job better. And so that's where the commission is looking at now, I think.
And Michael Sarek, is your agency doing the same? Are you guys utilizing AI in a lot of your processes as well?
Yeah, we're looking at, we actually just had a briefing hearing on the Hill just on this very topic. And the concept behind it is, yes, we are kind of forward leaning. Steve Jobs likes to talk about computers as a bicycle for the mind, as a way to help get you where you need to go in a more efficient, quicker way. The point about the bicycle for the mind, though, is that it doesn't replace the human being pedaling. So it's a combination. You have to have the human beings that are willing to have the relationship aided with the computer that's in anchor. It's not an anchor, rather, but something that's going to assist you get to where you need to go. A lot of times people will buy whatever they, you know, whatever is on the brochure. And then the trick is taking what's on the brochure and then implementing that in the federal space with a diverse talent pool spread across the world, or spread, you know, on K Street or wherever your headquarters happen to be able to leverage those tools appropriately and to really make a difference with the requester community to kind of get them what they need quicker, you know. And part of it really is the human relationship. No one in a FOIA shop is trying to hide the ball. No one let the cat out of the bag. No FOIA officer after the second week of work really cares what an individual request is. They understand it's work that they've got to get out the door, right? Because there's another one right behind it. So by building that relationship that Mike's advocating for, and I think everyone who's serious about FOIA embraces and supports, then you're able to help find that piece of information, that needle in the haystack, to boldly go where that information is and retrieve it and come back. It's not just, it's getting to the moon and then successfully coming back, right? And that's where the technology can be used as a bicycle for the mind to assist, but it doesn't replace the human being pedaling. And so I think that's kind of the dichotomy that we have to hold in mind as program leaders in the federal space, that it's a combination of the bicycle and the peddler. It's not just the peddler and it's not just the bicycle, you know, because a lot of us bought exercise bikes during the pandemic, and you know, And maybe some of them are more successful than me using them still. But the bottom line is, without the peddler, the bicycle's just a coat rack.
The following section is a little bit later in the session. I asked a follow-up question, and here is Michael Heiss's response.
What's coming next? What are you looking forward to, at the end of this year, 2025, going forward?
Oh, well, I guess for the commission, I think what we're looking forward to is further adopting technology in the FOIA space, where the FOIA processing system that the commission uses and will use in the future really does have that integration with some kind of e-discovery system, as well as, you know, certain features where it's easier to collaborate, let's say, with internal stakeholders in order to harvest documents. Until there is some kind of easy button that says, like, I'll just do a search for everything because everything is housed in one system, I don't think any agencies like that. My job, I like to say to people, is my first job is knocking on doors, right? Because I don't have anything, hardly, right? Of course, by saying that, everyone will FOIA my stuff, but like, but you know, I don't have anything because I'm not the tip of the spear. I'm not doing the good work of the commission, of its bread and butter. So I knock on doors, and so the more that our system allows for an ease of collaboration, where there's an easy way to kind of get documents to me, for me to ask for documents. Those things, I think, are going to be exciting for the commission to look at. AI, I think, is something we're looking at. In particular, as I was mentioning with charge files, there's PII in there that kind of depends on who's asking, whether it's the CP or the respondent. But Exemption 6 and maybe 7C applies to some of those things. And it would be far easier for an AI tool, and I know that this can work as I've talked to folks about it, where it can scan the document and find those, you know, AOL email addresses that need to be B6 that might be buried on page 75 of a $600 charge file that a human might just miss. You know, I mean, you know, you could control F, but you might just miss it. So having those kind of things really works well. The other thing that I'm excited about is, and I think this is important for anyone who's a Fed here to know, is to do what you can if you're in the FOIA leadership or management, like in a similar way that I am, to really get the message out internally that FOIA exists. It's a disclosure statute, which means I have to think of releasing it in full unless there's a reason under the 9 things to do it. And even then, I have to think about harm. I'm not saying necessarily at the commission, but there are probably a good number of federal employees who are going to be the targets of FOIA requests, that it might be news to them that their records are subject to disclosure. My email? Really? My text? And so making sure you have that, you work in the internal training to let folks know FOIA is kind of like the air you breathe. If you don't like it, go work at Coca-Cola. Because if you're a Fed, it's the air you breathe. So you have to have FOIA in the back of your head. What I like to say to people, and feel free to use it if you maybe you've thought of it already, is a phrase, keyboard discipline. Okay, especially in a post-COVID environment. It used to be before COVID that you might do what I call water cooler talk. You might go down the hallway, say a few words, and then go back to your office. During COVID and even after, people have that water cooler conversation on Teams or email, and there's very little that can be protected in a lot of ways with those, maybe. Some people might say those aren't agency records, that's a different conversation, but what I like to say, folks, is before you hit send, okay, think about what you're gonna write. Does it slow you down? Yes, but you know, are you comfortable with what you're sending to be on above the fold of the New York Times? Because that's where it could go. Are you comfortable sending it? Because once you hit send, what I like to tell folks is, it's not your email anymore. Guess whose email it is? It's the judge's email. Because at the end of the day, if it's litigated, because, you know, we're trying to withhold it for whatever theory, that judge is going to do an in-camera review probably. and they're going to look at it and they'll make the call. It is no longer your email. So really, really let folks know internally the training of non-FOIA staff about the FOIA is the best way to protect the agency from unnecessary difficulties about FOIA disclosures.
Yeah, and I think just to wrap on that, I think the future of FOIA, right, the future of this is in this, everyone in this room, right? It's the people that are holding our digitally stored records. It's the companies that are coming up with COTS products for us to utilize and implement across the federal family. And it's the people who are federal employees in this room who are creating records every day, ultimately with the aim of better serving their agency mission and the American people. So I think the future of FOIA is here. It's these folks here in this room, and I'm really grateful to be here with you, Kevin, Mike, and thank you again, Mike, for having us.
For those of you who are still listening, we appreciate you. We really do. I love a good conference, and think you asked some really intense and important questions. I mean, the volumes are getting increasingly worse. I mean, they're not getting any smaller, and it is a matter of how are we handling this amount of data. And so it was really interesting to hear from these experts. The Michaels really came on and helped to answer a lot of these questions and give a little bit more clarification when it comes to the government and how are you managing your data and what are you doing. And for me, I wasn't able to be at the conference, and I'm glad that I was able to feel like I was at the conference from today's episode. So for everybody listening, that's what we wanted to give to you. I hope you enjoyed being at the conference virtually with me. And Kevin, I just want to say thanks for going to this conference and asking these hard-hitting questions for everyone.
Absolutely. Thanks. Again, for me, I like anytime we can get industry and government experts together to discuss current technologies and different policy changes. It's always kind of an interesting thing. It's kind of a niche and dorky environment, but you know, it's where I live. And so for me, it's something that I care about. So I'm glad we got to share this with the community, and hopefully people learn something. And for all the folks who stayed with us, thanks a lot.
Thanks, everyone.